1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back. It is our Thanksgiving Stuck in Traffic show, and I have some folks who want to talk, and I'm very happy to talk to them. Hey, Danny, how are you, man?
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Good, brother. Now, you're a cop down there in Broward County?
Yeah, Broward County.
Cool. Are you sheriff, city cop, or?
Deputy sheriff. I was a city cop, but I've been a listener of yours since 94.
Back in the day, huh? Back at IOD?
Back when it was real and fun.
Yeah, back when IOD was, well, it's still a very... What station am I on there? No, everything's good. So how is business tonight, man? It sucks working tonight, doesn't it?
It does, but I'm home and I happen to have the next 2 days off, so I'm getting ready for that big turkey dinner Thursday and Friday.
Well, that's cool.
So.
Are you married and all that?
Yep, yeah, married. We got my family coming over. You know, we live up here in West Palm Beach now.
Hey,
so
let me ask you, what kind of a woman does a cop marry? And I mean that sincerely. I mean, like,
she's a cop.
She's a cop, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cop too. Yeah.
You know, you see a lot of cops like marry nurses and stuff. In other words, people that kind of get it about what you do and everything.
Yeah, because of the hours and everything else. But yeah, she gets it. You know, she's been a cop. She was a cop in Miami.
No kidding, man. Is she like retired now, or is she still doing the working?
No, she's retired. She's retired.
Oh, cool.
She retired. That I've been doing it, you know, since '92, and you know, I've been with you guys since '94, and it's been more than entertaining.
We get a lot of cops listen to the show. We used to have the. What's the town that IOD's in? You know, that little town, Bay Village?
Bay Harbor?
Bay Harbor. We were right next door to the cop precinct there.
Oh, my God.
And I all the Metro guys. But anyway, it's good to have you listening tonight. I appreciate it. What do you want, bud?
Him blow the thing.
Say it louder. What?
Him blow the siren.
Say it louder.
Blow the siren.
Can you blow the siren for goofball here?
If you give me 2 seconds, I will. Let me grab my keys. I definitely will.
All you got to do is push a button.
No, how do you know what he's got to do? Beats this game.
I tell you what I'm asking for is the best of the best for this Christmas season. I'm gonna go online and order me some of that.
Hey, solid, man. All right.
Yeah.
What's he doing? Don't you have to just push a button?
Will you let the man start his car?
Where are the citizens on patrol? Are they out tonight?
Yeah, someplace.
I can't imagine. The people that call in are great, but I feel bad so many cops call in and don't get it.
Is he going to blow the siren?
Hey, why don't you blow the siren before I slap this guy here?
I'd like to see you slap him, actually.
Okay.
I'm doing it right now.
What's he doing?
He's going to blow the siren, okay?
Where are you taking a pee?
How was that, bud?
He bought that in the store.
All right, man. Thanks, Danny. And happy Thanksgiving to you, man. Thank you.
He bought that in the store.
Oh, shut up. All right, it's time now for a flashback. A little Justin. Oh, no, this is Father James McQuarters. This is a beautiful thing. Father McQuarters was on our program, and he had a problem with some mentally disabled people in his church. They sometimes, when they have autism or Tourette's, they blurt things out in the middle of a very quiet mass. And it was Father McQuarters' feeling that it would be a Christian thing to gag them. Here's Father James McQuarters from, this is from March of 2005.
Father, I was born and raised a Catholic, and I'm appalled at your attitude. These are not imbeciles.
No,
they're not retards. And somebody needs, Father, out of disrespect, because you are asking for disrespect from every Catholic, every non-Catholic, you need to be gagged. And you need to be gagged by these people that you are calling retards and imbeciles.
Well, I agree with the caller. Retard is over the line.
All right, forgive me.
You should be ashamed of yourself, Father. And I wouldn't want to take the body and blood of Christ from you with your attitude.
I'm a priest of God.
Jesus Christ healed the afflicted. He didn't downcast them the way you are.
Yes, you're right.
You are the imbecile, Father, and I hate to say that to you. You are one of the reasons why there is so much discord in the Catholic Church right now.
I don't think so.
Pardon me, Father.
Oh, man.
I have a right to say what I want to say to you.
Let the caller speak.
All right, but can
these
I just say, I'm finding wet pieces of salami
stuck
to the pews.
These so-called retards and imbeciles probably have a better mentality and caring heart than you will ever know in your lifetime. And I don't want to judge you, but I would not want to stand in front of God on my last day and before judgment and tell God why you feel so horribly about a child or an adult that has such an affliction.
So
if this were your mother, if this were your mother or father, how would you feel?
You've got a God complex judging me. I'm simply
no, you're judging
say,
poor, innocent people that can't help themselves.
I'm not saying anything other than they should be quieted.
They should never be gagged. You should be gagged,
How
Father.
How can you hear the homily that I've worked my
That's all we've heard
off.
All evening on the radio is about how hard you work. Well, apparently, you're not getting the right words from Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ would not do such a homily as to say that a poor,
no,
innocent child or an adult
I
needs
say that.
Gagged.
Well, hold on for a minute. Now, Father, she said something. Thelma said something very clear. God, as the other lady said, suffer the little children.
God never said anything
exactly.
about letting suffering the little children to the point that when I'm raising the body and blood of Christ before the congregation during the consecration of the host, I look down and I see one of those mentally, you know, deficient.
You called them imbeciles.
Well, all right. So
you
haven't
lived
your life,
Father.
He's wearing something that looks like a satellite dish around his neck.
You have not lived your life yet. You could be in an accident. You could have a stroke. Anything could happen to you.
Can I ask a question?
And let me tell you, God could put on you what you are downcasting these poor adults for.
Ma'am,
I feel so ashamed to admit that you are even involved with a Catholic faith.
I studied in the seminary.
I feel bad that the seminary allowed you to become a priest.
May I say something, Mr. Henry?
Go ahead. But you have to acknowledge the outrage of many people.
And I do acknowledge it. But I want to say, when you see one of these poor unfortunates wearing what looks like a satellite dish around his neck so he won't chew on his own shoulder...
Yeah.
I go up and hug them.
Can
I
ask
don't
you
call them
all right. And what do you do, Thelma, when you go up to receive communion and you slip on the drool and break your elbow?
I've never done that, Father. Apparently, it's only done in your church. And
yes,
yet,
it is, because
we
don't have the money.
We have children in wheelchairs. We have children that have this affliction, and not one person in our parish ever would feel the way you feel.
Have they ever? No, you didn't answer my question.
Your attitude.
You didn't answer my question. Have they ever slipped on drool? Yes or no?
No, I have never seen that happen.
Well, the lady's telling you the truth.
Because they've got one of those places where they can put those... They've got one of those glassed-in areas where you put the droolers and the babies. And I don't mean to say drooler. I mean the mentally broken, you know, the deficient...
And what do you do, Father, whenever you have a child in a wheelchair... that wants to go up and does this sound, but is mental enough to know that they want to go up and receive the body and blood of Christ.
We very gently and lovingly gag them with some kind of a rag or tape.
I think you are terrible,
man.
Father.
Father.
I think you're inhuman.
Well,
I think you are inhuman.
It's inhuman
and I feel
to put
sorry
the whole
for you.
Body and blood of Christ into
Don't
hands that are soaked in
Don't talk about the body and blood of Christ with me. My body and blood of Christ that I know
right.
would never agree with you.
Father, obviously this is not sounding very Christian of you, and especially when you say you're putting the body and blood of Christ into hands soaked with drool. You know, it's the fact is, like so many people said, Jesus healed the lepers, he healed the blind.
Oh, here you go. See, people like you always do that. You always bring that one out.
That's the
well,
Bible.
He healed the bear, you know.
That's the Bible,
you should,
Father.
Have you ever been to a leper colony, Thelma? I have. I've ministered to lepers. See, you haven't.
Well,
you'd
what
run screaming.
Your mind and your heart?
You'd run screaming.
Father James McWhorters, who is... the chaplain there at Belmar Academy, and that is a little piece of sound from this past year. You're listening to the Phil Hendry Show, Thanksgiving Stuck in Traffic Show, and we're going to be coming up here in just a few moments with a, you know, when I hear Father McWhorters and I kind of begin to kind of do his voice a little bit, we'll be hearing from, well, we've got to see, Justin McElroy and Reverend Jim Pauley. Anybody remember him? All right, we'll have that and... more phone calls, 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, Laura Bush wouldn't say crap if she had a mouthful of it.
1-800-449-8686, the Phil Hendry Show is back.
Welcome back to our Thanksgiving Jammed in Traffic Show, and it is Thanksgiving Eve. We're talking to people just like you. Well, maybe not just like you, because I don't know what you look like, and... Well, I don't want to comment. All right, now we have on the line, and by the way, coming up, we have Justin McElroy. And Justin is a young man who, like many young people today, believes that, you know, using the F word and the S word and MF and all that in public is cool, and why does everybody get offended? And I'm not necessarily disagreeing with that. You know, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time we kind of loosen the bone in our permanent. Here is hello, Lindsay.
Hi, Phil. Happy Thanksgiving Eve to you this evening.
Yes. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing? It's good to hear your voice in person.
Yes. Yes, it is. It's been a while.
I was talking to Harry, and I had two requests, not about audio clips, but
yes,
about wanting to do my Grover impression for you.
Who's Grover before you do it?
Well, it's the only impression I know.
Well, what? Who is he?
He's a Muppet from Sesame Street.
No. You know, you have such a gorgeous voice and a beautiful manner that when you break into Grover, it would be kind of weird, you know? In other words, I had a girlfriend once who was really cute, and she liked to do this kind of, I hate to say this, kind of a Down syndrome face.
Oh,
and it would just blow it, man. You know, she'd be standing there nude and then suddenly bust into this thing. Did you ever see the movie, you saw Pulp Fiction, didn't you?
Yes, I loved it.
All right, you remember when Bruce Willis is taking the shower and he does that dumb, that voice that makes his French girlfriend go nuts?
Yeah, and she's like giggling, yeah.
Yeah, she goes, don't do that, I hate that retard voice.
But she really loved it, yeah.
She did? Okay. Now, Lindsay, you emailed me once. Is your father famous?
He is. He's quite prominent, yes.
Can you tell us what he does? Because I don't remember what it was that he did.
My father invented the blood cell separator machine for leukemia patients, and he's a very famous, prominent oncologist in the world and has won every award. But the Nobel Prize, and
what?
He
on.
Has
what?
A prize named after What's him, that? Actually.
An oncologist is, Bud's asking what an oncologist is.
Oh, I'm
cancer
sorry.
Doctor.
It's
that's really fascinating.
Hematologist.
Thanks. Yeah, that's great. Thanks.
Leukemia.
Never mind him. So that's heavy, man. And you and yeah. Your father is a famous oncologist, and you work for Disney. So that's great. Do you?
Yeah.
You work for
yes,
Disney?
I
yeah.
do.
All right.
I do. What happened was.
It's probably a long story.
I have a brilliant father who's a genius, and he always encourages to be creative, and he loves to laugh, and he loves people, and he loves to make people laugh. So I actually gained a lot of my sense of humor from my father.
So how did you wind up at Disney? What do you do there?
Well, I've been a clarinetist for 25 years.
Oh, a musician.
And I have a master's,
okay. Yeah.
Yes, from a prominent university, performed in a symphony, and it was so serious, and it was very intense, and it wasn't much fun, and I love to laugh, and I love people, and I get to work in an industry where you make people happy every day. And
okay, so you wear one of those big, so you wear one of those big hats, and you go down Main Street once a day. Well,
no,
that's great.
No.
All right, Lindsay, send us a picture for our wall of female listeners.
Well, can I borrow the picture of Raquel and then tape my head on that?
Yeah, sure.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, she's pretty hot, isn't she? And I asked her.
I do want you to have a really happy Thanksgiving Eve.
You too, Lindsay.
And I want you to remember that women are smart and funny, too, and not to treat us all like beautiful babes, because we have a lot more to offer, okay?
Oh, for God's sake, get off that kick. The only thing you want. All right, thanks very much, Lindsay, and I'll remember that. I'll keep that in mind. Thanks.
Like my wife does. Karen, I love your show.
Yeah,
I always have.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Like my old lady doesn't remind me of that all the time. All right, let's go to Justin McElroy. Hey, what's wrong with using foul language in public?
I don't know, man. I don't even know who you are, man. I mean, why should I even be listening?
Neither do I. I don't know who you are.
Well, you called me, man. You called me.
Yeah, but are you the class president?
What?
Are you the class president?
Yeah.
Well, you should know better.
What are you talking about? Everybody supports me and everything.
All right, man. You might be smart, but you're so smart, you're stupid.
Well,
you can use that language.
All I said to her was,
I use that language, but I mean, when you're out in public, man, you got to tone it down. Now.
Why, man? I mean, they're always telling us what to do, and the other thing.
I'm not telling you what to do.
Well, no,
I'm just saying what you can do to get ahead in life, because you know.
See, that's
what?
A good point. If you want to get ahead in this world, you're going to have to speak the language of consideration and social skill. You go into an office to look for a job, you're going to say,
right.
Hey, you MFing bitch, where's the
right.
president of the company?
No, I'm not going to. God, you guys think I'm retarded? Of course not. I'm just talking about relaxing with my friends and saying and telling the bitch behind the counter.
Just don't say that, okay?
God, what a Nazi.
No, but you know what? That's going to carry over because somebody is going to see that and say, you know, that guy has foul language. He has disrespect for other
disrespect.
People.
Disrespect? Where are you from, man? Are you, like, from America?
Oh, yeah, man. I'm from America.
Well, you're all like disrespect and stuff. What's that about?
He's got an accent. He's probably from Philadelphia. Are you from Philly?
Yeah, I'm from Philly. But that doesn't have anything to do with it.
Well, you come from... Well, what's that got to do with
it? That doesn't have anything to do with it. Ritalin, all that garbage is just an excuse.
You're saying that you come from Philadelphia, and then you say excuse.
Excuse, yeah, that's right. All that Ritalin crap, you're using as an excuse.
It's messed up the way you're saying it. And it causes me to have to take Ritalin.
What is?
The way this guy's talking.
Well, then that's what... You're taking Ritalin on your own. Your mom ain't forcing it on you. You want to take it.
I've got to take it when I hear of you going, excuse, in Russia.
Well, there you go.
See? And what's your name? Just tell me what your name is.
Russell.
Yeah, see, you said Russell.
He said Russell. Yeah. I heard him say Russell.
But the fact that he's not saying it right makes me want to take a handful of Ritalin. And so
there you go. There you go. You just said it, buddy. Your mom ain't forcing it on you. You're taking it voluntarily.
But I have
to. And then you're using that as an excuse to, you know, curse in public and make other people pissed off. Just because you're an angry individual doesn't mean that you should carry that off into everybody else's.
Hey, when you go to the store, do you tell the guy, hey, man, where's the Brussels sprout?
Okay.
Dude,
do you want to be
a
smart-ass man, or do you want to listen to what this guy's saying?
I just asked him if he liked Brussels sprouts.
I'll tell you what, I've been around the corner, buddy. I've been there. I've done everything.
Well,
you know what?
I wouldn't be saying
what
that.
What you're saying is I'm successful right now, but I had to tone it down a notch, buddy.
If you say you've done everything, I wouldn't be saying that in the wrong part of town.
What's that mean?
Well, what's that mean? Did he lather up for somebody? Or?
Hey, you know what? If you were here right now, you'd probably get smacked across the face.
Yeah, I know. That's how adults deal with kids. They beat them up and molest them.
Well, you know what, buddy? You're not going anywhere in life with that attitude, man.
Hey,
let's do it.
Hey, do you like Misho Shoup? Because I know a Japanese...
Okay, he's a smartass.
He is a smartass,
Russell,
man.
Thank you very much, sir.
God, you guys are
not
so...
No problem.
You guys are so, like... Totally uptight about everything. All I want to do is tell
an adult. No, I'm not uptight, buddy. What I'm telling you
I'm
going
to say to an adult, F you.
That you're so disrespectful. It's outrageous. And I'm not an adult. I'm a young.
Did anybody ever call you an ashwipe?
All right. I'm going to hang up on this kid in 5 seconds if you don't clean up your act. You want the freedom to say all these words. One of these days you're going to find out that being an adult isn't just, well, I get to do anything I want.
You know,
my son's finding this out in college right now. He you know, my son actually said the other day, he said, God, how I miss being 12. And he's only 18, because now he's in his freshman year of college, and he's going nuts.
Am I supposed to be interested in this?
What are you going to do?
All right, Russell, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, Russell, I think you're nuts.
The guy's got a little bit of a lateral lisp. You got to...
No, I just said, I think that guy's nuts.
All right, well, there it is, Justin McElroy. And why can't I say what I want to say when I want to say it and how I want to say it? And that cat, see, that dude, I could tell he was a Philadelphia dude. He does what Jay Santos does. He swallows his L's. Do you like Misho Shoup? All right, 1-800-449-8686, our number here on the Phil Hendry Show. It's our Thanksgiving Eve program for people who are stuck in the traffic. I don't know what the situation is. We have a website that we go to called sigalert.com. And it gives you, I don't know if they are in, you know, all over the country, but it gives us the traffic in L.A. It ain't looking that bad. It's not looking that bad at all. And I got here after I got through the initial crap way, way out in the West Valley. As soon as I hit Woodland Hills, man, I floored it. I floored it, and I did 150 miles an hour, and I didn't care who was in my way. And I got here very, very quickly. So there's an idea for you. Hey, on December the 11th, that's a Sunday, I'm going to be at Dave and Buster's in Arcadia. That's my hometown, baby. It's in the Gap, San Gabriel Valley, that is. And we'll be there starting at 3 o'clock, the first 250 people in line. I'll do a 30-minute shtickaroo, a little one-man show for you. And we'll be signing autographs on the new 2005 CD till 6 p.m. It's called Are You For Real? All the money goes to my friend's place. It's Dave and Buster's, December the 11th, between 3 and 6 p.m., first 250 people in line will get in to see a one-man show, just about a 30-minute little goof, and then we'll sit down and autograph the CDs for you. Money goes to my friend's place. Coming back here on the Phil Hendry Show with who? Reverend Jim Pauley. Oh, this is a beautiful thing. We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Here you go. This is what I'm talking about, okay? Tonight on the 405 freeway, this is a freeway that skirts the west side of the city of Los Angeles, okay? The 405, and it's a nightmare. On a normal day, it's horrible. Now, this is Thanksgiving Eve, right? Actually, things from Woodruff South, that's when you get outside of the west side part of L.A. and you're heading south in Orange County. It's actually pretty nice. But then they've got two speeds that you can look at. You can look at the regular speed and then the diamond lane, which is, of course, the carpool lane. Well, guess what? It's slower in the diamond lane than it is in the regular lanes. Why? Because of jackasses that get into it and decide they're going to do 55. If you get into that diamond lane and you're doing 55, you deserve to have two big, huge truck headlights so bright in your rearview mirror that you become an X-ray of yourself. I mean, anybody looking at you would be able to see right through and see skeletal material. You do 55 in a diamond lane while cats are trying to get going. You deserve to have just some big freaking 18-wheeler grill right there in your rearview mirror. Just boom, boom, wah. Because right here it says Brookhurst Avenue, 70 miles an hour. Diamond Lane, 54. How is that possible? How is it possible that the lane that is set aside for faster traffic is slower? I'll tell you how it's possible. It's the thing I've been talking about for years on this show that I'll never stop talking about, that I'll die babbling to myself about. Jackballs in the fast lane. Get out of there, man. Get out of there before someone gets a little bit of road rage going. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Now you understand. Score it. 2 points. One for me, none for you. We'll be back after this word from Lucky Strike. All right, it's time now for another one of our flashbackaroos. And this is the Reverend Jim Pauley, a gentleman that we had on our program to talk about his ministry, which is what he calls a romantic Christian ministry. He says he gets romantic with both men and women to try to turn them to Jesus.
I just can't believe that. It sounds like to me, sir, that your belief in God and Jesus Christ, you are rationalizing your sexual behavior.
No, that's your interpretation through your own filter. Because you're probably thinking, if that were me, this is what I would be doing. But you're not me. I can sit.
You know what? I've been involved with people like you. I've seen people like you. And I really feel badly for you because you are so far away from God and Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ didn't sit around with nude men. Anywhere in the Bible does it talk about it?
Excuse me. He walked this earth for 3 years with 12 other men, and at one time or another, they had to have had their clothes off while they were bathing, while they were eating, or just relaxing.
Is that what you're doing? Are you
just
eating
relaxing?
And bathing with these people and sharing the word of Christ while you're eating and bathing?
Of course. When do you ever stop reading the word of God to people? And
why does sex have to be in the middle of this?
Because that's where people live, Jane. That's where people live in our society.
That's
and I believe
live.
In going right to where, the biggest industry in America today is the pornography industry. The biggest grossing movie in the history of the movies was Deep Throat.
Of course it is. It is the saddest.
And it is
the saddest.
You're not going to convert
pathetic.
People. When I got a man sucking on my toes,
oh my God!
And I'm reading the Bible.
And you're reading the Bible. You are rationalizing your behavior unbelievably. I'm astounded.
Well, what do you do? How would you preach to someone?
I would talk to them about praying to God.
Wow, exciting!
The Bible. You know
Boy,
what?
You're
and
a real
talking to them about what their purpose in life is. Why are they here to feel the fullness of joy? And you don't do that when
ding,
you're
ding.
Living in the scum
well,
with
know,
everybody else.
You're boring, Jane. You're boring. You're boring everyone.
Good. You know what? And you know what? Jesus Christ was probably totally boring.
Can I ask
he was
you a
from
question?
A little
no, he's not.
Town.
Not when I am out there. A 65-year-old man paid me $50 to lay on his lap naked. And I was
you
able
know,
to read.
Listen to you. You are taking money to build a youth hut. I pray that you're not showing these youth what you're doing. This is the most tragic. Their lives will end up in hell like yours is going to. I feel badly for you. You're already mixed up.
Phil, I told you there are a lot of egos involved in the Christian ministry, and I think Jane's
right.
ego. I think Jane's
right.
ego is shown a little bit here.
I'm not pretending to be a minister, sir. I'm just, you know what? I work.
Jane, let me ask you. If it could get you to heaven.
I teach Sunday school on Sunday.
All right.
And you know what? We teach the Word of God.
If it could get you to heaven, would you lay naked in my lap?
If it could get her to heaven, what?
If it could get Jane to heaven, would you do the splits over
heaven.
An egg?
My idea of heaven, sir, and your idea of heaven.
Can I ask you a question seriously? If it would save your everlasting soul, would you do the splits over me nude?
What kind of a question is that, man?
You know what? No. You are literally beyond. You really are out of touch with how good, honest, integrous people feel. You are so beyond because your mind is on sex constantly.
No, because that's where America's mind is. The largest.
Well, that's the saddest part about it because people like you are proliferating it. There are good, honest, great people that don't send. The people I work with don't talk about sex all day, sir.
Jane.
They're honest, integrity.
Of course they don't, because it's frowned upon. It's frowned upon, Jane. But in their homes, you know that the pornography rental business went through the roof as soon as the family DVD store came to your neighborhood?
And do you have pornography, Reverend?
Because we suppress it. A naked ride in my lap is like an express bus to heaven. Let me ask you something, Jane.
Oh, my gosh. You have got a horrible sexual...
Are you saying...
No, I want to ask this lady.
And you're justifying your behavior.
If it got you to heaven quicker, would you let me spank you with a cricket mallet?
What on earth does that have to do with heaven?
See, she doesn't get it.
Well, I don't get it either.
You know what?
If you don't get it, pal.
You are so sad.
Sad?
I'm sitting here. Before I got on the phone with you...
You get whacked on the rear end by me. And you are sitting at the right hand of God.
Pardon?
You are sitting at the right hand of God if you let me take my hand and just clap it right across the cheeks of your rear end.
Here he is, Reverend Jim Pauley, with his romantic ministry on our Thanksgiving night Stuck in Traffic show. Stuck in traffic? You must be in the Diamond Lane. You must be behind Jim and Susie in their car as he sucks on a lollipop and she's got something else in her mouth. And they're just talking and they're just having themselves a ball. And everybody else is doing 180 and he's doing 6. I didn't say he had 6. He's just doing 6 miles an hour. All right, we'll be back with some phone calls from you guys. We have more things to play for you as well on the Phil Hendry Show, including a Lloyd Bonafide, or is it a Lloyd or a Margaret do we have coming up? I think we have Margaret. Lloyd. Ah, yes. Lloyd Bonafide coming up next on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Born again. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, we got Lloyd Bonafide coming up next. And then we'll have a Brad Rifkin bit. First, I want to talk to a guy here on the Phil Hendry Show. This is Mark. He's in the U.S. Air Force. How you doing, Mark?
Great. And you, Phil?
I'm very good, sir. Thanks for calling. Hope you're having a good night.
Yeah, hard at work, you know.
Where are you at, man?
Rome, New York.
Oh, yeah, okay. Is that like an Air Force base up there, or are you just...
Well, it's a facility now.
Or are you AWOL?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
It's a facility now. It used to be Griffiths Air Force Base. They closed it down, and we just have a facility up there, so we have a few people working there. So.
What do you mean a facility? What does that mean, like an office building or something?
Two buildings. That's all we have.
Oh, boy, the great days of the Air Force. Now we got our, like, just two buildings. Two buildings and a freaking biplane or something, you know, a crop duster. So, thanks for calling us tonight, man. So you ain't traveling, are you?
Nope. No, I'm working through the holidays as usual.
You know, I used to work in Utica, New York, way back in the 70s, man. I worked at an oldies but goodies station there.
Oh, yeah?
And I got on Allegheny Airlines, and I remember I got off the plane at Ithaca because I made a mistake. I was supposed to get off at Utica, right? So I go into the air terminal. I go, is this Utica? And the guy actually said to me, Ithaca, Utica, what's the difference? So I was really confused because the guy didn't give me a straight answer. And then finally I got back on the plane, and unfortunately it crashed. But I walked away from the wreckage and hitched a ride and finally got on the air in Utica. And that was, boy, I couldn't get out of there fast enough. Are you from up there?
Actually, I'm from the Syracuse area. I just happen to work here, so.
Well, thanks for calling the show.
Thanks. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
You too, man. I'm going to go into a Lloyd Bonafide bit now. This is where Lloyd, I don't know, he's a mental deficiency going on here. Here is Lloyd from last year on this Thanksgiving show.
Okay, first of all, is this gentleman
of the, are you Iraqi, sir?
No, I was born, my parents are from Pakistan. I was born in the U.S.
Uh-huh.
And, well, okay, here's the thing. I've got a woman in the car with me, and I work in New York City, and in talking to women, by no means are they going to be aroused by Saddam Hussein. And it doesn't suggest any sorts of virility. If anything, it suggests that it's kind of infantile.
Well, let me tell you, no woman is going to say to a man, oh, you know, I really like him. You know, when they're packing a pretty good size, you know.
You're focused way too much on this guy's unit.
Yes, sir. Yeah, but the point is.
What are you trying to do? I mean, it sounds like you're more aroused than the women are.
No,
you're
sir.
Talking more about his,
well, you know,
than anyone else.
Why don't they let me talk to the young lady in the car? Because you're screeching, and you're not hearing
I'm telling you, as a normal, rational, and heterosexual male, that in talking to other women that they don't focus on a guy's unit, and you seem to be focused on it a lot.
Well,
and
what,
I would say it's normal size, so maybe because you're lacking in that department, you feel a bit insecure by your enemy.
Normal size? Well, that's a hot one.
This is the problem. This is the problem with men like you, because you have little tiny wieners, so you feel you need to project your anger towards other people.
Everybody knows that you men from that part of the world, all you guys are like cocktail Franks, so you're like the Japanese.
Really?
Yeah, that's the word out here.
But, wait, hold on, you guys. You guys, hold on.
If you think a corn cob's normal, then good for you. But I'm telling you,
wait a minute,
gentlemen. This is ridiculous. You talk about infantile.
Well, this guy started it with talking about mine.
I just think it's a bit infantile to show a picture of Saddam Hussein as being naked or in underwear.
Well, I mean, I personally can't get all that terribly upset about this guy being shown in any way.
But here's my point. I'm at the same time afraid that the fact that this is going to make women aroused and somehow make a sympathetic case for the man. Let's not forget what he did to the people in Iraq.
You and I are not in disagreement. I agree with you. Why show this picture of him with the whole Mr. Ed package when the gals out there are going to look at that and go through a window?
They're not going to do that, though. They're not going to look at it and think anything more of the guy. They're not going to be attracted to him. He's not an attractive guy.
You know, I know enough about calling into the talk radio programming to have my radio turned down, and I can hear me and you coming back 7 seconds later.
Yeah, it's called a delay.
Well, you're supposed to...
Hold on, I'll do it. Shahid, could you turn your radio down for me, man?
Turn it? Okay, no problem.
No problem.
Now, look, are you telling me that a squash is normal? Okay.
Wow.
Why are you talking about this?
Yeah, what difference does this make?
Yeah.
Why
do you care about how big a guy
because
is?
Because I want to make sure that the focus is kept on the atrocities that this piece of garbage...
You're the only one focused on his squash.
Oh, really? Then how come this picture has become so internationally, you know, and so forth?
Of the image of Saddam Hussein in his underwear, that's the image. It's not his unit or package or whatever you want to call it. Well, it's the fact that you've got a guy and it's humiliating to him and he's in that image. I mean, that's the focus of it.
Well, and you don't like that. Now, see, I don't understand
that. I'm not affected by it. I really am indifferent to it. I don't care.
You said that you... I heard you say that you didn't like seeing it. Now, maybe it's because you don't like the fact he's got a 3-year-old's leg in his pants.
I think it's very adolescent to put a picture of a guy like that in his underwear. That's all I'm saying.
Adolescent from what standpoint? From the standpoint of...
All right. Look, Shahid, you made a very good point.
Well, he made a good point. What about the point that I made? The guy's got
You said we're all the same. You said people from China to Iraq are all the same people.
I would be fighting the Iraqis, what's the difference? It's the same Mo Howard haircut.
Oh! Lloyd, God bless you. Phil Hendry Show on our Thanksgiving Stuck in Traffic Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, you want to know where I live? 123 Ashkick Street.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Well, I hope that we were able to, give you enough to pass the time tonight. As I said, I know that there's a lot of people... Oh, excuse me for a minute. I forgot to... Is all the Christmas music on? Well, screw it. We had Mannheim Steamroll. We got the one CD here, and we kept playing that Sugar Plum Perry. Wasn't that the name of a bartender? Sugar Plum Fairy. But we had to stop because that one dude called and said it reminded him of a relationship he'd had with a member of the New York City Ballet, and I don't want to exacerbate any homicidal tendencies the man might have. So in any event, we hope that the time passed for you this evening on the Stuck in Traffic Show. Tomorrow, of course, is the big day. If you have family around, that'll be really cool. I'm going to be barbecuing one. Maria's going to be cooking one. I'll be barbecuing one. And I ain't talking about turkey. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to put one on a spit and just turn it. I'll put on a grass skirt. I'll pour myself a couple of fingers of Don Julio over ice. I'll be out there in the yard. See, it's California. I'm sorry. What can I tell you? You know, we barbecue our turkeys and did Thanksgiving. There's cats back there. Are you out of your mind, man? It's snowing. By the way, speaking of snow and blizzard and being out of your mind, Why is it Detroit plays every year? On can we get something else, please? Oh, God. See, now I remember, because Mark just said to me, yeah, and Dallas, too. And Dallas does. But when I was a kid, it was Detroit and Chicago every year. Detroit and Chicago, Detroit and Chicago. And back when those teams were, you know, well, Chicago's got a good team this year. But Detroit just is dull. And if it's going to be on Thanksgiving Day and Detroit's playing in that freaking dome, how about a little Thanksgiving Day mud and snow? And you remember that one game, that Dallas game, when it was just coming down the snow? It was like 93 or 4 when Leon Lett kicked the ball and that whole thing. That was bitching. But no, we got to have Detroit and whoever else. Who are they playing? Dallas again? Oh, gee, there's a shock. And what's the AFC? No AFC game? What's the college game? Yeah, it'll be some real thriller, like, you know, William and Mary. Yes, it's the 36th annual Crutch Grip Bowl. Hello, everyone. And the guy's 100 who does the game and no one cares, right? You know, yeah, they'll be going for the pork roast, the bronzed pork roast yet again. It's some trophy that a guy pulled out of the trunk of his car. Anyway, have a nice Thanksgiving. We'll see you tomorrow. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Talk radio's speed trap.